Monday, and that means we need to check in with our good friend Dick Weiss, media critic extraordinaire, worked at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch for 20 years as a Metro editor. He joins us here in studio, has a website, weissright.com, weissright.com. Dick, good to see you, my friend.
Good to be back.
What do you think of this Elliot Spitzer case?
Well, I was at Ground Zero over the weekend. I was in New York.
Now, hold on. Were you by the World Trade Center Ground Zero, or you?
Oh no, no,
New York Ground Zero.
Okay. The latest Ground Zero.
Okay.
right there, 42nd Street. Of course, he did his thing down to Mayflower in Washington. But
right.
It's ever, you know, in the press. And the one thing that I love about New York are the newsstands.
Right.
And you would have had to put the entire newsstand at 42nd Street in a plain brown wrapper. The tabloids were just having a field day with this. And, sort of sad to see. And there are a lot of school groups that are walking down the streets, going to the Broadway shows and
right.
so on, and they're walking past this thing. I notice there's a newsstand going in right next to the studio here.
Well, that's World News, which is moving from outside. They're moving
moving in there?
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe KTRS just was jumping on the bandwagon here. And I said, well, we'll have a newsstand because this thing is hot again.
My favorite headline, you probably have one, but mine was the New York Post that said, "Oh no."
Oh no, yeah, that was definitely the best. And I think my favorite bit was on Jon Stewart, where he had, paying homage to the feeding frenzy, he had a bib on with Elliot Spitzer's visage, and he's ready to dig in on the guy.
In terms of writing headlines, I know the writers always get criticized for the headline. The writers don't write the headlines. There are headline writers, which
yes.
is a skill in and of itself. Unfortunately, no one knows any famous head writing writers.
It's true. It's very hard to think of anybody you could point to.
Right.
Who's writing those ho-no headlines? And
right.
Well, maybe at some point there'll be some obituary. He wrote the most famous
right.
headlines. There was a guy, if you remember the St. Louis Sun, who wrote a headline. Actually, Deb Peterson's husband, I believe, wrote the headline about a guy. He bit her, so she sued his.
I remember that.
I think Mark wrote that.
Really?
Deb, if I'm wrong, please call in. I do not want to.
But that was a great one. Yeah. I remember that vividly.
He bit her, so she sued his.
Yes.
Was some bar here? Now, wasn't that happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what's the obviously the Post considers itself not a tabloid and a fine, upstanding daily, so they don't go to the muck that the New York Post does.
Right.
But headlines do sell newspapers, and everyone talks
sure.
about the Post
yes.
headlines. Is there any wiggle room at the Post when you're working there in terms of headlines?
It's been all over the place at the Post-Dispatch. Sometimes they'll do something pretty out there and salacious, and sometimes by mistake.
Right.
They'll do a pun and they won't even realize that they've done a pun. One that they got in a lot of trouble for, it's racial, was they had a bunch of African-Americans doing a groundbreaking, and the little headline was spade work. That was not
that didn't
funny.
Go over all that well.
That did not, and no, it didn't go over well. But sometimes they're out there, and sometimes they're very they try to be understated. And I think the other thing that's interesting to watch is how newspapers, to a greater extent or lesser extent, try to use a story like this as a so-called teachable moment, in which they will use the Spitzer case as a way of looking at prostitution.
Right.
And then it's always interesting to see just how much detail they provide during their teachable moment that tends to be, shall we say, stimulating
right.
to readers.
Well, are you saying that the news media has taken this Spitzer story and ran with it?
Yeah, just a little bit, don't you think?
You mean if he was caught with some campaign finance charge where somebody gave him $100,000 more than he should have, it wouldn't have been that big of a story.
But, I don't think so. And the interesting thing is that you can talk about something like, I think Nicholas Kristof, a columnist in New York Times who writes about human rights issues, looks at the white slave trade and the laws that apply to it, and it's very actually good. That was a teachable moment. And then there are others that are, well, what's it like for you know, poor women like Kristen who are just trying to make a living there in the big city and trying to be a singer. And I think Kristen has gotten like 300 downloads on her song that she's been trying to get out there.
Right. Now, but here's a question that I haven't heard brought up anywhere. It was a private situation.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to David Vitter, the senator from Louisiana, Bill Clinton, whoever else, and he resigns 48 hours into it, but it had nothing to do with his competence as a governor.
It has to do with his political credibility, that this is a guy who's gone after prostitution rings, and if you say you are one thing and then you are doing another privately, I think that's a big thing. You know, whether you can't be convicted on being a hypocrite, what you may be able to be convicted on is what you do with your assets, and there I go with a pun that I mean to do, but where did that money come from? And apparently there's some investigation whether some campaign money was used.
Right. So we don't know if the other shoe's going to drop. You know, speaking of headlines, before we move on, the New York Post, my favorite headline of all time was "Headless Body Found in Topless Bar."
Right. Yes. Great moments in American journalism.
Geraldine Ferraro gets busted for coming out, being a spokesman for the Hillary Rodham Clinton campaign. She's vilified, and then you have this Reverend Wright coming out, which this Reverend Wright story has been around for months.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And
it
now,
comes back.
Now they have video, and all of a sudden now it's a bigger story.
Right.
Has the media been fair, unfair? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I actually was a little bit surprised that so many pundits are taking the Jeremiah Wright story so seriously that they really think that this is could
derail,
torch Barack Obama's campaign. So I take it seriously because then it gets into the echo chamber and it gets repeated and everybody becomes obsessed with it. But, you know, we probably all of us have friends who say things that we don't agree with or have used, for instance, we're a couple of Caucasians here. We've had friends probably who've used the N-word.
Right.
We don't cut them off. We don't never speak to them again. Probably sometimes we don't even say anything to them when perhaps we should have.
Right.
And my sense would be it isn't so much what Jeremiah Wright is preaching, it's what is Barack Obama preaching, and he's got a record. The reason he's so successful is that what he's been preaching is brotherhood and sisterhood and not what his preacher has been preaching, which is, at least in some instances, has been just the opposite. Now, the question is, does the candidate in any way subscribe to or agree with what the what his minister has been saying at times? The story I would be interested in reading, and I don't blame Fox for running these, taking this out, is what is the rest of Jeremiah Wright like? What else has he been preaching? What kind of life has he led? What was it that would be attractive to somebody like Barack Obama and his wife that would have him going to that church?
But we might have friends that say things that are anti-Semitic, racist, be that as it may. We don't necessarily put them as our spiritual advisor,
right?
You know, in our cabinet, if you will. I mean, this man had to resign from being a spiritual advisor on his campaign.
Yeah. And that's why I want to know what was so good about him,
right?
In the first place. But, you know, we'll see how this plays out. I think it's a good, interesting test for this candidate, and it's, I think, even if you are not a supporter of Barack Obama in terms of his policies or what he would like to do with the country, you kind of hope that he can deal with this effectively, because if this race gets racialized, if that's a word, it'll be sad. It'll be a sad time in American history.
You did call it, though, 2 weeks ago. You sat in that chair 3 weeks ago, and you said, now that Barack Obama is the quote-unquote front runner, the media's gonna come after him.
Yeah, they're going to be
exactly
coming
what
back
they've
on
done.
Him. Yeah, that's so, for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Who is Andy Borowitz?
Andy Borowitz is a guy, you know, there's a theory, basically, that people get hot, mainly by word of mouth, as much as anything else. And Andy Borowitz was referred to me by my friend Paul Wagman. Borowitz writes a column I think almost daily. And you can subscribe to his, you go to his website, you subscribe to him, and he will send you an email. And he writes a column, a very short one about, not even half as long as a Bill McClellan column. And he's very good. And he finds stories that other people don't, even Matt Drudge. I'll read one to you now, just a very short bit here. It's about Barack Obama. He said, buffeted by criticism of his controversial Christian pastor while continuing to quell rumors that he is a Muslim, Senator Barack Obama took a bold step today to settle questions about his religious faith once and for all. I'm converting to Judaism, effective immediately, Mr. Obama told reporters at a press conference in Scarsdale, New York, adding that he would change his middle name from Hussein to Murray. As a sign of commitment to his new faith, the Illinois senator said he anticipated being bar mitzvahed sometime between now and the crucial Pennsylvania primary, and that he would no longer campaign on Saturdays. In a subtle sign of the shift of his religious affiliation, Mr. Obama's signature catchphrase, "Yes, we can," was nowhere to be found in his speech, replaced instead by "L'chaim." Nobody's got that.
Now that's,
you can get that in your email inbox, things like that.
So you're saying
Andy Borowitz.
Andy Borowitz is a comic, if you will.
Yes, right. Yes, and he I don't know how he makes money because
I don't know.
You know, maybe they put ads on his website or something when you go to it, but you just get this. You can have this little email, and this is the way increasingly journalists, or writers, what have you, are making their mark and getting heard in America without having to be affiliated with mainstream media.
Which is another reason why newspapers are in serious trouble, because yes. Somebody like Andy Borowitz is great and people find him intriguing and want to read him. They wouldn't syndicate his column, and then you would read it three times a week in the daily newspaper. You just get it in your inbox.
Yes, and the American journalism is rife with people who became famous who were sent away from newspapers. Your cousin,
yeah,
J.R. Moehringer, who was
right.
Sent packing by the New York Times, ends up winning a Pulitzer Prize and
right.
Writes screenplays and
right.
You know, and so on. And so that's, that always happens.
Yeah. What's the best story we've never read?
Well, a guy by the name of Joe Rodriguez does not drive a car. And that's maybe not saying much in St. Louis, but if you live in Silicon Valley, it's pretty good. Joe got rid of his car, and he lives in a county, Santa Clara County, where there are four times more people who own four cars,
right.
Than have no cars. And Joe is, I think actually his wife has a car, so he wouldn't count in the census. But he has written a little column about what it's like to move at what he calls a more naturally human pace and how he gets around without a car. And as you know, I've taken the bus here a time or two, and it's not easy, but it's fulfilling.
Yeah, it's actually somewhat relaxing, in a sense.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. You know, it's fun. Yeah. It's fun to meet people.
Right.
You know, people get on the bus, and you have community there, a rolling right. Community.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Recommend it.
Weisswright.com. Weisswright.com. 30-year editor of St. Louis Post-Dispatch, 20 years with the Metro section. Thanks, Dick. Have a good week.
You too.